such a joy and an honor to be here today. I love West Michigan. I love this part of the state. My wife and I are from Owosso, and it's where Covenant Eyes headquarters is. How many in here are familiar with Covenant Eyes Internet Accountability and Filtering? Awesome, two people. This is going to be a good service. Well, my wife and I moved up here to Michigan about 5 years ago. We've lived in and ministered in the state. We're both alumni of Central Bible College down in Springfield, which is where I met her. Married a Michigan girl, so I had to move back up to Michigan. I know, right? So, funny story. Back when I was younger, my grandparents, my dad actually grew up in Michigan, so I'm familiar with the state. And growing up, I always thought, man, it'd be so cool to live in Michigan. In fact, I had like Michigan State apparel. Any Spartan fans in here? Amen. Come on now. All right. So I know. Don't want to get off on the wrong foot here. So I got state apparel growing up, and I wear it to school, and people are like, Michigan State, what? And I'm like, I'm wearing this prophetically, you know, thinking, man, you know, someday I'll be respected. And so the Lord is good. And I married a Michigan State fan, hallelujah. And you know, we're living in Owosso, and we got a great life. God's been so good to us. My wife and I have been traveling and speaking for about 6 months now. I formerly served as associate and youth pastor at Mount Hope Church in DeWitt. Prior to that, I was a youth pastor in Illinois. And so I'm familiar both with the church, with church ministry, with church families, and in my experience with Covenant Eyes, I've gained some perspectives into the challenges facing families today. And so I'm here to expound on those experiences, and hopefully this will be a blessing to you. So I want to point out one thing real quick. This is Covenant Eyes' latest release. This is a resource that I believe will be a blessing to any family, and especially if you're an educator, if you work in the school district, if you work with any kind of child care, anything involving youth. This resource here is titled Unfiltered. It's Equipping Parents for an Ongoing Conversation About Internet Pornography. This is a DVD-based workshop. It includes a parent's how-to guide. This is just amazing. It's chock full of great helps on how to start conversations with your kids and how to keep tabs with them along the way. That way it's not just a one-and-done thing. But if any of you have technology in your home and if any of you are gaining new devices in your home, this is something that you're going to have to continue to talk about is your trust in your children with technology. So this is a huge issue right now. So I just want to encourage you, if you're interested in purchasing this, to share with people in your spheres of influence. This is $20. You do save a little bit of money buying it from me today. It's back here. I'm not a peddler. I don't peddle stuff. So actually, when I found out that this was available, I was actually pretty excited because we don't sell like hard copies of things. Everything that all of our educational stuff is absolutely free. And so when I found out that we had this, I thought, man, finally I have something that I can put in the hands of people that is of value, that they don't have to go online and download and do all this. So this is something that I believe will give you a quick how-to perspective on protecting your family online. I've got a few kits back there. I've got about, I think, five, including this one. So it's about a 40-minute long session. Like I said, share it with your family, share it with your friends, your neighborhood. This is life-changing stuff. Covenant Eyes, for those of you who are like, okay, Covenant Eyes, internet stuff, let me just kind of back up a minute here. Covenant Eyes, first of all, is an online accountability and filtering program. Our mission is to help people bridge the gap between technology and relationships. And as our culture grows more technologically and our lives become more integrated online, as we saw earlier here, giving online, I mean, this wasn't even, you couldn't even do this unless you were just purchasing something 10 years ago. And so our churches are becoming more technologically advanced. Our homes are becoming more technologically advanced. How many of you watched a Netflix movie last night with your families? Okay. No? Okay. Hey, we got one over here. We got one honest person. You know, our entertainment, our education, you know, our finances, all of these things, all these spheres of involvement in our life are now happening online. And so the more that our children are using technology, the more that, you know, as parents we're having to deal with technology, we need to be equipped to have these conversations, to be educated, to be aware of the dangers facing our families online. but also how to protect them, some practical steps on how to protect our families online. Covenant Eyes, first and foremost, we founded our company on the concept of accountability because we believe that accountability really is the key to healthy relationships. And if I can say one thing about relationships, especially in the church, the strength of our relationships in our home is the strength of our families, and the strength of our families is the strength of our churches. And the strength of our churches is the strength of our communities, and the strength of our communities is the strength of our nation. And so those relationships need to be guarded. They need to be protected. And so what we're finding more and more is that with technology, people are becoming more and more isolated. And I think parents, we kind of straddle this line, wanting to give our children space, wanting to give them privacy. But what I've found often is that space turns into privacy. Privacy turns into anonymity. Anonymity turns into obscurity. Obscurity turns into promiscuity. There is a dissension that happens when we begin to disconnect from our children's lives, especially when technology is involved, because we can give them an opportunity to live a completely different life online than they would live offline. Amen? So it's so important that we are teaching our children how to communicate the values and the principles that we've instilled in them from a child and how to translate those to their online activity. So how do we equate that? The accountability program actually will give you a report that shows where the people in your family have been on the internet. It's very quick and easy to use. Once a week, you'll get a report in your inbox that will show you, first of all, the level of maturity of the websites that your children are looking at or in the activity that's being generated. So we range, kind of like movies or video games, we have a similar rating system. It's an age-based content rating system, so it will actually show you the maturity levels of the websites visited. It'll show you web searches that are done, and each web search that's done will range at a particular maturity level. So you can see if the searches that your kids are doing are beyond their maturity level. So if you have a 12-year-old and they're looking, for girls in bikinis, that's going to show up on the report. And you're going to see so-and-so look for girls in bikinis. And you say, why are you looking for girls in bikinis? You can have those conversations. It's embarrassing, right? I know. But here's the thing. We need to start talking about this stuff. We need to have information about our children so that we can protect them, so that we can guard them. And this isn't about being invasive or not trusting them. But as long as they're under your roof, it's your responsibility to teach them, to raise them up in the way that they should go. And when they're older, they won't depart from it. The Bible, that's a promise that we have from the Bible. And so this is the challenge that we're faced with. Accountability will last throughout their lifetime. If they're taught how to be accountable to the way that they use the internet, when they get older, they're going to know that, hey, I've got to stay on the grid. You show them, you demonstrate what accountability is in the richness and the authenticity of the conversations that you're having, being transparent about the things that they're doing online. And young people, just when you cross that line, being so quick to come back in and say, Mom, Dad, I went somewhere that I shouldn't have gone, and I need help. I'm scared, and things are going on. Or maybe you've been caught up in a cycle of looking at things that you shouldn't online. You need to come back home. You need to be open and honest about those things. What we've noticed, and this is, I think, probably the most important piece of what Covenant Eyes does, is that in our education and in our protection and in equipping people with software to help them protect their families online, we notice that two things happen. When people come to us, they have a level of awareness that, hey, there are things online that I don't know how to monitor and I don't know how to protect my children from, and I need help with this. And so what parents are doing is they're coming to us and they're asking, hey, I need help protecting my children through these different venues of the internet that they're accessing content on. And so come to us and they'll ask for help. We also get another group of people that come in, and they're coming to us because something has already happened. And very quickly, I believe probably within the second or third call that I ever took from Covenant Eyes, I realized that I was on the front lines of something serious, something very serious. And one of the church leaders that a lot of Christian pastors and pastors and church leaders follow, Mark Driscoll, don't know how many of you are familiar with his ministry. Mark Driscoll says that online pornography is the number one issue facing the church today. Online pornography affects about 70% of Christian men deal with online temptations, and coming out and being transparent about these issues is very hard to do, primarily because the connections that we make at church are so few and far between. We may have Sunday school, we may have Sunday morning worship, and if we're involved in small groups, we may have that other connection, but a lot of our conversations are superficial and surface, and it's just because we're not involved in each other's lives and business on a daily basis. And so what Covenant Eyes does is it actually allows people to be transparent about a very secretive area of life. And so, Pastor Joe shared with me, this is something that he's been using as a pastor, as a church leader. This is a level of integrity, a level of responsibility. He sees that this is, his integrity is at stake. And so he's accountable to people, to what he does online. I'm accountable to my wife and to close friends with my online activity. And so there is that level of security that we have, knowing that we're being accountable online. Now, for our children, there are hard lines that need to be drawn. There needs to be filtering that needs to be put in place. You want to block content and keep them protected from intrusions. What we found is that there are basically two ways that inappropriate online activity happens. One is by invasion, pop-ups, accidental discovery of things online that are inappropriate. And the other one is by invitation. Children, curious by nature, go out and they search. It may be a movie star, maybe a term that they heard at school, and then all of a sudden they find themselves in the thick of something that they don't understand, that their minds are developmentally unprepared to contend with. And so they find themselves frightened, alone, and maybe even too scared to come and talk to their parents about it. And so Unfiltered will help you do that. Our website, if you want to write it down, is covenanteyes.com. And Pastor Joe, did we have any flyers sent? We got flyers today? Awesome. Go ahead and lift your flyer up. I just want to make sure everybody got one. Okay, we got three people got them. Okay, cool. They're in the bulletins, so awesome. There's a code. If you want to try Covenant Eyes out, we do provide a free 30-day service, so you can try out any number of our services. We provide accountability by itself. If you want to just have the accountability piece, great for men, great for teenagers, especially as they're getting older and they're about to leave the house. They need to learn to be accountable to what they do online. We also have the filtering. You can get that as a separate feature as well. You can bundle them both together and try it out free for 30 days. There's a promo code on there, SafeNet30, and you can just give it a try and see if it doesn't help you with conversations in your home. You're going to find out some interesting things about your children and about your spouse, maybe. Hopefully good, because we want this to not just be about busting people for looking at things that they shouldn't have, but to open up communication lines in an area of life that is somewhat guarded and secluded. So this is about bringing people back on the grid. So go ahead and take advantage of that. And that does a great job of explaining what we do at Covenant Eyes also. So, I just want to invite you to try that. I came here today to share with you about Covenant Eyes, but also I want to talk to you about an issue. And I believe pornography online is a perilous issue, and it's destroying lives, and it is hurting so many people. Since I began working at Covenant Eyes 5 years ago, I've literally talked to thousands of parents about the issues that they face online, ranging everything from, hey, I'm going to prison, I've been caught looking at child pornography, to, hey, I'm just curious about how I can protect my family online. I've heard everything in between, and I know that this is a serious issue that we're faced with. And so what I want to know, and what's sad is that a lot of these families are Christians. The men who are struggling with pornography, the young men, the young boys who are struggling with pornography, have been raised in Christian homes and have been taught the Word of God. And so what I've been trying to do over these last few months is see really what is the core issue that we're dealing with. It's not pornography. Pornography is an issue that rises up. It's the consequence of something else. It's a there's something going on in the hearts of men and women right now that is longing for something to be filled. There's a void in our hearts. There's a deep desire for something. And when somebody is exposed to pornography, there is so much that goes on in the mind that there's a lure that happens there that gives the illusion of that desire being fulfilled. But once that happens, there is a desperation, there is a longing that's even greater after that, that is even harder to fulfill. And so what I hope to do through this is talk about some of the choices that we have to make as Christians, and what are the motives behind the choices that we make. People don't just wake up and decide to look at pornography. There are core issues that once, as the progression occurs, as other life choices are being made, we fall upon the opportunity to do things that are contrary to the Word of God, things that do not honor the Lord. And so we find ourselves in sin. And what I know about sin is that sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. And so we're faced with this in the church. How do we not just say no to sin, but how do we put ourselves on a projectile in a way that is aimed more at the glory of God, more at bringing the ways of God to earth? How do we live our lives out under the lordship of Jesus Christ in a way that makes no room for the opportunity to not only for pornography, but for all these other sins that are so common that everybody in this world deals with? How can we live lives that are set apart distinctly for the gospel, the good news, and for the glory of God? I want to share with you, this is something that we've had to deal with from the beginning of time, choices. How do we process through the choices that we're faced with on a daily basis? There are a number of choices that we have to make, some trivial, some very hard to make. Some choices are made without us even knowing about it. It's our lack of awareness to the choices that are being made. We find ourselves, even in the lack of our decisions that are already being made for us. Your decision not to talk to your children about the dangers of online pornography, the dangers of premarital sex, the dangers of lying, cheating. If you're not talking to your children about this, that's already a decision that you're making. And so what I want to share with you this morning is there are choices that we can make that will help position our families for success, that will help make a reality out of the gospel, help make the lordship of Jesus Christ real to us, and will help us not just, as I said, avoid sin, but put us on a trajectory that will really bring the ways of God to this earth. But it's going to take some intentionality, and it's going to take some deliberate decisions on our part. I want to share with you from Joshua 24, 15. And this is, we skip a few chapters down through the Bible, and we get to the book of Joshua. Joshua is somebody who has made it his heart's and his life's mission and desire to serve God completely, completely abandonedly, and has given everything of the 12 spies that went into the promised land to see what was possible, what was capable of happening for the glory of God and the future of Israel. He came and he said, yeah, this place is ripe. This place is going to be great for the purposes of God and the people that he set apart for his glory. And so Joshua has found himself kind of at a bird's eye view, seeing throughout the years the faithfulness of Judah, the faithfulness of Israel, and the faithfulness of the people of God, and the unfaithfulness, their fickle people bouncing back and forth and conforming to the ways of the world and finding it very hard to follow the commandments of God. And Joshua gets to the end of his life and he says, what's it going to be? Here I am, I've come to the end of my life, and I need to make sure that what I'm imparting to you will stick. And he asks his people, he says this, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, in verse 15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen. Father, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you will open our eyes. God, open our ears. God, we are hungry as we sing songs of worship and adoration to you. God, we believe in our hearts that, God, you came to us to show us life and life eternal. God, that this is a world that is ripe for the taking. This world is full of your glory and it's waiting to be revealed in your people. And so, God, I pray that your promises would come to bear upon us this morning. God, that we would be reminded of the things that you have told us in the secret place as we heard the word this morning, as you spoke to us in a still small voice. God, that that voice would now be amplified. God, we would hear that louder than the voice of reason and the voice of the world, the voice of the people in this world. God, I pray that we would be set apart, God, for good works. God, that we would be so captivated by the gospel and the glory of Jesus Christ. God, that we would be ruined for the things of this world and forever be changed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Choices are hard. Choices are difficult. My wife and I recently were faced with the choice of putting a new roof on our house. We knew about this 4 years ago, that one day we were going to have to put a new roof on our house. And so we get this letter in the mail from our insurance company saying, hey, we've come by your house. We notice that your roof is in decay. And in fact, if you don't fix this, we're going to have to drop you. And I think back, oh, man, if only I had listened to the guy who did our appraisal and he told me that, hey, your roof's going to have to be repaired. I could have spent the last 4 years trying to figure out how to fix my roof. Instead, I let the absence of that decision result in the near cancellation of my insurance policy on my home, which is not a good thing. And so my wife and I, the past few months, have been praying, seeking God, trying to figure out how we're gonna figure out the answer to this problem. And I look at my house and I think about, man, this is just such a metaphor of my life. Like, I look at my house, I look at the roof, and, you know, we haven't had any leaking. I'm like, there's nothing wrong with our house. My roof's not leaking. You know, these insurance people are just trying to stick it to us. And, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about. You get people, you get the city commission telling you that you're violating an ordinance of some kind. You're like, whatever. Like, I'm not killing anybody. And this is nonsense. And so you get these, like, indications here and there. You find out that there are things in your life that you need to fix, but you kind of just keep on going because it's, you know, I'm not hurting anybody. You know, I'm not getting rained on. You know, the wood on my roof is not rotting. I, you know, this is fine, whatever. Get off my back. And what I find is that you look at your home, and I think, like I said, that's just the best metaphor because I think about my basement, I think about the foundation, and I think about, man, my basement's a mess. You know, my wife, she keeps the rest of the house completely spotless. I mean, she does a great job, but the basement is mine. She will not go down in the basement. She will not touch it. It's disgusting. There are spiders and bugs and laundry. And so she has put a boycott on the basement. And so, you know what I found from the roof of my house to the basement? I've got this, like, sandwich of chaos going on. And so, you know, peace between these two pieces of bread called my basement and my roof. And everything in between seems to be doing just fine. But how do you know that if the foundation in the basement begins to erode, if I leave that in a state of decay and I don't fix water issues, that foundation is going to begin to erode? If I don't fix my roof, the wood's going to begin to rot. I'm going to start getting water damage in my home. And no matter how orderly and beautiful the inside of my house is, if these two pieces aren't fixed, the house will not stand. And so I believe in our families, this is the same thing. We can bring our families to church, we can teach them about the ways of God, but if it's just between these two sandwich pieces of bread called Sunday morning service and Wednesday service, and we really believe that we're teaching them the ways of God just by shoveling them off to, you know, to Pastor Mike's youth service or, you know, children's church, we're going to miss it. No matter how much we want to believe that our ministries are successful, you know, no matter how many decisions we get for Christ in our services, it's what happens on Monday through Friday. The decisions that are made in the home, the choices that we make, that will really depend on how much glory is revealed in our lives and how much we really are going to be on target for the ways of God and the glory in His coming kingdom. I want to share with you, this is, so we see back here in the Old Testament through the life of Joshua, you know, he's trying, this is a last-ditch effort to get people to obey the ways of God, and we see through the book of Judges, you know, everything is coming undone again. People were doing what was right in their own eyes. Judges were raised up. You know, they established order, and they brought people back under, you know, submission to God, and, you know, worship was brought back, and, you know, people began serving God, and they fell away, and they came back, and then the kings came, and the kings, you know, helped to establish Israel as a nation, and then the kings did what was evil in the Lord's eyes, and they were banished, and Israel went into captivity, and then, you know, we see, you know, hundreds of years of silence, and then Jesus comes, and he's stuck with the same problem. How do I get the people who are called by my name, these people that God has a plan for, set apart for his purposes, to reveal God's plans and purposes here on this earth, to bring an end to the chaos and the confusion and the sin problems that wreak havoc on our world? How do we make that real? And Jesus, you know, coming to this world, said, man, I got to die before this world will ever wake up and believe that God is who he says he is, and that this is the way to make the ways of God come to earth. I got to lay down my life. And what I've found is that in homes, this is the number one issue that's facing our homes, and this is the choice that I see bearing upon so many families, and especially dads, is that I can do one of two things. I can make choices that are right in my own eyes. I can, you know, go after hobbies and interests that have nothing to do with the well-being of my family. I can make decisions based on the finances, on you know, social involvement, on entertainment. I can make these decisions, and if those things are not anchored in Christ, if those decisions are not anchored in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then all of those decisions, no matter how reasonable and rational they are, will end up jettisoning and completely doing away with the inheritance, and you're going to squander the heritage that is due to your family. We have choices that we have to make, and we have to be deliberate about this. God has given us as men the position of priesthood in the homes to minister the ways of God and to establish the ways of God in our home. And what does that look like? Ephesians chapter 6, I want to share with you. Beginning in verse 1, this is you know, kind of a format, and I would say a bit of a symphony of the way that God's plans and purposes are carried out in the home. The writer of Ephesians is sharing, you know, this is how we live out life in a family, in community, you know, in this church. All the families in church, in this church, should be conducting themselves in this way. And it says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Amen. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. And so we see here, he starts off talking with the children. Children, honor your parents. Children, honor your parents. Honor them. Listen to them. Look them in the eyes when they're talking to you. Do your best to follow the things that they say, no matter how irrational or weird they may be. Which leads into the next point. Fathers, don't provoke your children. You don't do things that are self-gratifying, self-centered. What we see so often at Covenant Eyes are dads who are so consumed with, you know, doing their own thing and really, you know, living their own life. One guy, or one family, a mother who had six kids in their home, was dealing with a husband who had decided to go off and leave the family, his family of six children, to pursue online pornography. I mean, really, he could not live in the home and have his pornography. And so he actually chose that above his priestly duty of caring for his home and for his family. Now, pornography is a pretty extreme issue, but there are other areas of of our lives as men that we can be lulled into and not even knowing. We just kind of sleepwalk through these things. It can be the demands that we have on our job, putting the demands of our job above the well-being of our family. You come home and you bring baggage that comes from being in a stressful work environment, and maybe you take it out on your kids and you feel guilt about it. And you're like, man, I wish I didn't have to be this way, but this is another way that the glory of God fails to be communicated to our children when we are responding to the world and the pressures of the world in a way that does not communicate the good news to our children. And I think about what we can do as parents, as moms and dads, to help make the gospel real, to go upstream and say, I know what God has done in my life is real. I know that He has a plan and a purpose for my life. And I know that He has a plan and a purpose for my children. And what Jesus came here to do was to show you this is the way to glory. This is the way to victory over sin and the things and the pressures and the issues of this world, is to lay your life down. The priestly duty of a father is to lay his life down for his family, not just for his friends, not just for his wife, but for his children too. It's hard. I'm not a dad. I have a dog, and I feel like I have to lay my life down for him sometimes. And I know I haven't even scratched the surface of really understanding this, but I see the heartache of moms, of wives who come to us on the phone at Covenant Eyes, who are on their last strand trying to figure out how to make their marriage work, how to keep their family protected, how to make this truth, these ideals called Christianity, work in their home. How do we make this happen? And a lot of times what you find is that there are a lot of orphans and widows of living men in this world right now. And it's up to the church, it's up to the men in the church who know the truth and who are establishing those principles and who are living out the faith that they so believe to be true in Christ, to begin to share that with the orphans and widows, the single moms, the children, the youth that come in, from who knows where and what kind of backgrounds. And as you begin to exercise this priestly duty of living out the truth with integrity in your life before your children, you begin talking to them about God's ways. You begin talking about things like integrity. You begin talking about things like faith. They see you praying and believing, that you're transparent with them about your own struggles. When you're off base and you know that things in your life, maybe it's something that you said in anger, that you're quick to come to your children, show them that pattern of confession of sin, and that this becomes such a reality that it is so easy for us to just get, that would be the normal thing for us to get up here and say, man, I blew it this week. I blew it. And I know that is not God's best for my life. And so I need help. And it's one thing to confess things, but to allow ourselves to be repentant. I think that when we show our kids a path to repentance and confessing our sins and saying, yeah, I know that I blew it in this area, we begin to show them, hey, this is the pattern for living. We begin to show them the room for grace and for God to move and work in their life. Amen? And so living it out before them, talking about the ways of God, sharing Scripture with them, showing them the godly principles, praying with them. When was the last time you prayed with your children? Amen, sister. Praying with our families. Praying. When I was working at Covenant Eyes, when I first started working at Covenant Eyes, one of my coworkers, after we got back from our honeymoon, and reality was about to dawn upon us, and all the life was about to happen for real, not just a honeymoon. And my coworker said, "Oh, so now comes reality. And at night, do you go to bed watching TV, playing on your iPhone, iPad, or do you pray? Do you talk about what God's doing in your life, what He's done throughout the day? Are you bringing your needs before the Lord together? Are you walking together?" And that changed. I mean, there hasn't been a night that's gone by unless Melissa was just sick or I was sick, and we prayed even harder, I think, even in those moments. So no matter how tired we are, we pray, and there are things that we commit to the Lord every night. We pray for our future children. We pray for the heritage that we believe God's planted in our life to be conferred upon them, and so that we're ready for that when it happens. So what I want to affirm to you this morning is that you have a heritage. You have something of worth to give to your children. And I believe that we're ripe for this. I've seen it in Melissa's life, my wife's life. I didn't really come from a Christian home. I went to church growing up, but I wouldn't say I grew up in a Christian home. I married a girl who's like I'm a Gen 1 Christian, we'll say that. She's like a Gen 4. She's like a fourth generation Pentecostal, faith-filled, Bible-believing. I mean, she comes from an amazing heritage. And what I've seen, just looking back over her family's history, and I see a pattern of faithfulness, of living out the gospel before their children, of praying with their children, of talking about the things of God before their children. And I see that, especially in her mom and dad. And her dad did not grow up in a Christian home. And her dad is one of the godliest men that I know. He's a man of few words. He's kind of like a modern-day John Wayne or like Clint Eastwood. He's hardcore. Don't mess with him. In hearing stories, and I love hearing stories about my wife growing up, and what I love about it is that her mom is like the most involved, like transparent, in your business, no private space, no bubbles. When I have conversations with her mom, it's like this. And she is so excited about everything in my life. And, and it's like, it's stretched me at times. But I see that she has saturated my wife, her daughter, with that kind of, I got to be in your business. I got to know what's going on in your life. Please don't withhold anything from me. This is life or death. And I see what that's produced. And I believe that if we would be more in our kids' business, if we would show them we love them, we're not just trying to kill their joy and their fun, but we want to make sure that they enjoy the gospel, that they enjoy being a Christian, that there is hope in a future and something far more glorious and great than even the parents have experienced. And so from generation to generation, the glory of God is in this graduating, ascending pattern. And we can experience that. And Melissa and I have experienced the blessings of God. Moms, I want to encourage you, be a thermometer. Be a thermometer in your home. If you're not discerning what's going on in your home, if you're not in your kids' business, not leaving any space, not leaving any room for lies to get in the heads of your children as they get into school this year, they're going to be fed all kinds of lies, and you've got your work cut out for you. You've got to get in your kids' lives and begin unpacking the lies in their life and bring truth in and say, honey, I know that this is what the school's telling. I know this is what bullies are saying, but this is what God is saying. These years are so short and eternity is forever, and we need to bring the kingdom of God to bear upon earth, and we need to bring eternity to bear upon time. And we do that in our kids, and our kids get strengthened, and you're affirming that day after day after day. You're making sure that your communication is trumping the things that are happening in this world. Moms, you're going to live. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, but it's going to be worth it. Dads, I want to encourage you, be thermostats. Be thermostats. Now, as you're walking with mom, you're hearing what's going on in the home. You get the temperature. Dad, you need to know when to kick on. You need to know what temperature needs to be set in the home. So when your son or your daughter steps out of line, you can go in and you can correct them and say, no, this is the way. This is the truth. This is what we believe as a family. You're constantly, you're living that out in your life. They're hearing it in your conversations. They hear it in your prayers. And they're believing it. They're seeing it in your actions. They're seeing it in your life. And man, I just want to get a vision for the glory of God in our communities, in our world, and know that all this is temporary. Julie, what you're experiencing right now is temporary. You know that. You know that. And I believe God, this is not the last word. This is not the final word. Diagnoses are not the final word in our life. And we have to have a firm grasp on that. When we're praying, knowing, I know that the doctor said this. I know that the bank said this. I know that the power company said this, but God. And you continue to bring things back into perspective, and you let God be God in your life. No matter if it takes you to the grave, you're going to believe God and stand on His promises. This is the power of choice in our lives. We've got to be intentional about the choices that we're making. We'll see the glory of God bear upon our lives. And we'll see it in our children's lives. We'll see it in our grandchildren's lives. We'll see it from generation to generation. Our kids, our grandkids, the glory of God coming in power. You guys are believing for bigger things for your children than you're believing for your own life today. Amen? Let's do that. Heavenly Father, I just thank You so much for this time. God, I thank You for Your promises, and I thank You for Your word, and I thank You, God, that this life is so temporary. Nonetheless, we're faced with decisions every single day, Lord. I pray that here in this house, here in this place, Lord, that we would be a people aware of the dangers facing us, whether it be online with technology, whether it be at school, the relationships that our children have with people who don't believe the same things that we do, who live lives that are different than us. God, I pray that we would have the strength. I pray that we would have the courage and the conviction and just the guts to live it out before our children's lives every single day, that we would be in their business. God, that we would be not just a thermostat, or not just the thermometer, but that we would also be a thermostat setting the bar and encouraging our children joyfully along the way. If there's anyone here this morning who is struggling you feel like a pinball, as we heard earlier, you feel like a pinball just kind of bouncing all over the place, and you're looking for answers, you're looking for security, you're looking for peace in your life. That's everything that Jesus is. That's everything that He is. And if we would give, if we would just lay down our lives and say, my life is not that great, that cool, but what Jesus did in coming to this world, dying on the cross for my sins, showing that death could not hold Him down, was not the final word. We can see that. We can believe in the power of God in Christ Jesus. We can say, that same power lives in me. If you want that to be you this morning, if you want the power of God living in you in Christ Jesus, if you believe what He did 2,000 years ago is powerful enough to save you today, if you need Christ, if you need the power of God in your life, in your circumstances, you want peace, you want order, surpasses all understanding. If that's you this morning, lift up a hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, God. Maybe you just need to be recalibrated this morning. You just need to make the good news current. Maybe it's been old news to you. And you need to unpack it again. You need to let the good news be the good news again. If that's you this morning, I want to pray that God would reignite the gospel, the goodness of Jesus Christ in your life, and that He would blow on the embers that have been there, and that you would begin to experience the flames of God's power in your life, surpassing anything and everything you're experiencing in your life right now. We get a big enough vision of God, everything else dwindles and is diminished. If that's you this morning, go ahead and lift up a hand. I want to believe with you, believe in my own life, to see God glorified, my life and my children's life. This is about securing generations. Let's go ahead and stand.